where you're at, James, in terms of like the game. I know Austin's like done almost everything now.
Well, I'm splitting my time between the PC game and the Xbox game, so I'm actually about roughly equivalent in both. I've got characters that are level 27 and 31, respectively.
I have finally made it to level 50, and boy, are those last 10 levels a slog. They just take forever.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to get... it's too bad Scott's not on today, because one of the things I was noticing is that once you get any skill, smithing in particular, but I've been trying to get smithing up, once you get into the 60s, they start to move much more slowly. Like, I've noticed that archery, it's a real slog. No matter how many arrows I fire and how well I hit, once you get into the 80s, it takes a lot to move the needle.
That's where you use training. You find the trainer, you just pay them money.
Well, yeah, but I've... Ayala from the Companions is a trainer, but I don't know that she can train me anymore.
I know that Fadalin, is that his name? Yeah, he only goes to level 50.
His problem is he's kind of dead.
He's dead. I'm sure he's dead in most people's playthroughs. And he only goes to level 50 anyway. But I got the 20 Dragon Shouts. I got the 15 Daedra Artifacts. In fact, I accidentally, and then later read up on it, glitched one of those quests and got 2 Daedra Artifacts from one of them, which was interesting.
Not bad.
And level 50, of course, the 100K I got a while back. So those are the really hard slog achievements, and I think the rest are going to be pretty easy to get. There was this, the Hercene, the Daedra of the Hunt. There's a werewolf in Falkreath who killed a little girl, and he's in jail, and he's all distraught about it. And it turns out that he put on this ring, and it's cursed. And the ring was meant to give him control over his werewolf powers, but instead took away the control, and he couldn't control himself anymore. So it's cursed. If you agree to take the ring off him, it starts the whole Daedra quest.
Okay, well... But, okay, so I guess if you've done all the Daedra quests, I'm presuming that means you've done the one for Boethia?
Yes.
Okay, so what did you do there? You know, you go up to find the shrine.
It glitched out on me.
Huh?
It glitched out on me. I had to Google it and found a way around the glitch.
Okay, well, I just walked up there, and, you know, I talked to the guy, and he tells me that what he wants me to do is go lie to somebody about some great thing he's going to get if he comes up here, get him to kneel in front of the altar, and then knife him in the back. And I was like, dude, I so don't want to do that. He's like, okay, well, look, go away. You're bothering me.
A lot of those Daedra quests are like that. A lot of those Daedra quests are like that, where they want you to kill someone.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, I had already done the one for Maelog Bal, you know, where you have to get the priest of Boethia and shame him and turn him.
Yeah. Yep.
And now that I know what Boethia is like, I didn't feel nearly so bad about that.
Except Boethia is no better.
Well, yes, but my thought was I was going to kill all of the people up at that shrine. But my God, have you tried doing that?
Okay, let me tell you what happened when I did this quest. So I went up there and they say, you're going to sacrifice one of your followers. I was like, kind of like my follower. So I took my follower. I said, bye for now. I'll come get you later. Went to this orc camp where I had been when I was like level 10 or something like that. And I knew that there was an orc there that would follow me. So I told him, hey, come with me. And he's like, yeah, okay. So we go up there, and so I'm sacrificing someone I don't care about. Now, this is where it got really tricky. You go up to this altar, and you've got this sacrificial knife that you got to use on him. He has to press this, touch this altar, and then you stab him. I spent a good hour trying to figure this out, because it's a function of the game that you rarely use. You tell your follower to pick something up or go somewhere or touch something, and in this case you tell him to touch the altar, and you tell him do this, and then you point at the altar and you press the E button and it says touch the altar. So he walks up to it, gets stuck to the altar, then you stab him with the knife, he dies, comes back as Boethia, and Boethia says is meant to say blah blah blah, now it's a free for all, whoever wins is going to be my new champion. Instead, he got stuck, and she would just repeat the same thing over and over again, that wearing this human flesh is icky. So I read up on the Google that if you kill everyone, then it skips that part where she would say kill everyone, that it's a free-for-all, and you can continue on and complete the thing.
Okay, so how did you kill them all? Because, okay, now you must be much higher level. I hit those people at level 31, and I had, I guess, Vilkas, one of the guys from the companions with me, and we got our asses kicked trying to do that.
Yeah, it was actually hard for me. I think I was level 48 or 49. It was very hard, so I called in some help, Call of Valor, and summoned Daedric, Conjured Majiga, and Conjured a Flame, and a Frost Antioch, and had another follower with me because I was smart about it. Then I started flinging fireballs around and generally hid in the corner.
Well, how did you manage to get another follower with you? Because once you've got one follower, you can't get a second.
Well, I'd already sacrificed him.
So what did you... Okay, so you sacrificed him. Oh, and then because you had the glitch, you zoomed out and got another follower.
No, it's got nothing to do with the glitch. As soon as they're dead, they're no longer your follower. So at that point, you can leave the place, go get another follower.
Right, that's what I mean. Because it was glitched and the free-for-all wasn't happening immediately, you went out, got a follower, and came back.
No, you've got to talk to the demon anyway, so you've still got time to go and do that. But even that's just one more person. I had, you know, an army with me, basically.
I should have called it. It wasn't that hard for me because I do mostly attack weapons, not like magic.
It got a little bit worse, so this wasn't the only part of the glitch. So apart from that, then the next part is you've got to go and kill the previous champion of Boethia and take their armor, and then she blesses the armor. And if you've been to this place before and killed everyone, you're in trouble. So I started getting a bit nervous as I was reading over this glitch report, because I had been there and I had killed everyone, and it said that if you put on the armor after killing everybody there again, sometimes it will work. Luckily for me, it did. I put on the ebony mail, and yep, she spoke to me and blessed the armor. It's pretty cool armor. So yes, the whole, if you need to kill a follower for one of these Daedric princes, just tell your favorite follower to go home, go find someone you haven't really done anything with. Take them along.
Okay, so another thing that's that I ran into, that I had a very big difference in the way I was able to play it between the two characters I'm playing. I'm playing a mage on the PC, and I'm playing more of a warrior, really a bow specialist on the Xbox. And I did the thing in Macarth where you're doing the Forsworn conspiracy, and then you get the option to go to jail. And of course, if you don't go to jail, every guard in the city turns on you, and I guess you have to wipe them all out. So I said, okay, I'll go to jail. And with the warrior, I didn't even think really to talk my way through anything. I talked to the first guy that the quest arrow is over, and he tells me that I need to go deal with the big burly orc. So I just said, fine. I picked up a pickaxe and started wailing on him. And that was that. I killed him, and then I killed everybody else in the room because they started attacking you. So I have a lot of health with this character because I just started beating the crap out of everybody. And finally, the room was cleared. They were all dead. And then I took the keys and walked out. And then I had to kill the other guy, Madanok. And that was relatively easy once I realized, after I got killed once in close combat with him, I decided, you know, probably the simpler thing to do is use one of my shouts to bowl him over and then go over and wail on him, which is what I did. And then when I got out, you know, the guy comes by and says, oh, you've done City of Grace service, take all your stuff, and that was fine. And then I was reading up on the wiki and I found out, oh, I could have just gone and gotten a shiv, handed it to the orc, and he would have let me through. Which turns out to be useful, because I found out my mage character, without all the special armors and things to boost magicka up, when I tried to have my mage character on the PC do the same thing and attack the burly orc, that was just a non-starter. I ran out of magicka before he was a fourth down.
Yeah, I was going through that full-on, the prison, no one escapes from this prison, and talking to everyone, trying to get into the spirit of, oh, these people are so downtrodden. But I was playing in Nord, and the more they told me about how they kept doing terrorist attacks on this, that, and getting caught, the more I was sort of like, yeah, good on ya, you know? You're in prison, and here's your leader, and I'm standing in front of him, and you know what? He's dead.
that was pretty much how I took the Forsworn. I hate those guys.
Yeah, I tried to listen to their stories and tried to empathize with them, but I just don't get it. I don't understand why they think they have any say over the land. They've lost the war. It's over. Yes, they're being manipulated in a game of pawns, political manipulations to control the land and whatnot, but tough luck. You lost. So, as a Nord, I have no sympathy for people telling me that Nords suck. So, yeah, I got in to talk to the big head guy, and he was trying to make me decide that the Force Swarm weren't so bad after all. And then I thought, you know what? You guys are, you're dead. So the hardest part was actually getting out past the Dwemer stuff.
I actually just ran past that stuff. I didn't even engage those. You know what I did? I just noticed the bridge goes to a door, and I just charged across the bridge and ran right by them. I didn't even try to fight them.
I had the Forsworn guys with me, so they just did all the killing for me.
Oh, you helped them, did you?
I didn't know that you could just go kill the leader.
Well, after that, do the Forsworn attack you out in the open, or are they friendly now?
No, they attack the town and then run out the door.
That's it? And then they're back to their old usual, we hate you sort of thing?
Yeah, they're like, thanks for your help, we'll see you around. And they give you this unique armor, and that's it.
Lame.
Yeah, I'd rather just kill all
unique
of them.
Unique armor. Scraps from the prison we strung together.
Yes, since the Forsworn armor seems to be variations on chainmail bikinis, I'm not impressed.
The Hursine quest, how that played out. I mean, as I'm getting to the later stages of this game, so much is glitching out. Just like the interaction between quests and locations. And I swear it's because Radiant Story reuses locations. I swear. If they fix that, if they make it stop doing that, I bet you half the problems will go away.
That's supposed to be in the next patch set.
What, 1.4?
Yeah, that's one of the things I've read, yeah.
Well, we'll see. So anyway, you talk to this werewolf, you take the ring, and then he turns into a werewolf and escapes. The guards are like, oh, I saw you talking to that guy, and then he escaped. But then they don't do anything about that, which is kind of funny. They probably took an arrow to the knee.
Oh, speaking of glitches, just to go back to MacArth for a bit, I was trying to do the Forsworn conspiracy, you know, on one of my characters, the mage character, and I went to the treasury house to talk to Thonar, and it glitched in the weirdest way. I walk in, I go talk to the guy after intimidating the girl at the desk, and, you know, he tells me nothing, and I'm walking out, and then the combat starts in the other room, which is expected. But since I'm playing a mage, I threw a couple of fireballs, and apparently my fireballs killed somebody they weren't supposed to kill, because suddenly, in the middle of the combat, Stormcloak troops, because in this game I've already sided with the Stormcloaks and they're in charge, they come in and say, you're under arrest, will you come peacefully, while the combat's going on. So I say, okay, fine, I'll go with you and pay the fine. So I go out, pay the fine, come back, the combat's over, and the dude won't talk to me at all. I had to go back on a save, because it completely glitched out because of the Stormcloaks coming in and saying, pay your bounty.
Hey, I'll get back to Hursine in a second. Austin, you know how we had the trouble with the murder mystery quest?
Yeah.
And the whole Windham house. And so I used a bunch of console commands to gain access to buy the house and skip the murder quest, because I just wanted to see the house. Big mistake. Big mistake. So if you do the quest, at the end of the quest and you get the house, you can request to have the place cleaned up. Well, that takes away the bloodstains, but all of the quest items, as in broken glass, pamphlets, chests full of things, that all stays. And what's more, the basement for the house where the ritual chamber is,
yeah, that stays too. Isn't that awesome?
Nope, there is no bottom of the house in my playthrough. I have a lounge room area that has a pink square on the floor, and if I walk over that, I fall out of the world and then walk back into the room.
Okay.
You could just go over to the chest full of stuff, click it, and hit disable in the console command, and it'll get rid of it forever.
I might do that, but I, now that I've gotten all the way out to level 50 on this playthrough with the mage stuff, I'm you know, those are the long-term achievements, getting to the very end with those things. I'm gonna retire that one, and I've started a new one. Akajit. And I got to say, one of the interesting things is, a lot of people, you know, why don't we get him to do it? Why don't we get her to do it? Well, as Khajiit, often they'll say, how about the cat? They refer to you as the cat. And I just find that hilarious.
You're just going back to Red Dwarf on that.
Yeah, true. But it's, you know, it's another example of the whole, this is Skyrim, this is the land of the Nords, and you're Khajiit, and yes, it's part of the Empire, but yeah, you're a cat. As far as they're concerned, you're a cat.
They should actually treat you even worse than that, though, because if you talk to the various Khajiit who are around as traitors, they're looked on as lower than pond scum.
Yeah, and yet here you are becoming Thane and owning houses and...
Yeah. It shouldn't really be possible.
Well, you are the Dragonborn, so they would begrudgingly have to allow you around. But I think there could have been a lot more of that sort of... you know, if each of the NPCs had their certain flavor of how they liked different races or different that sort of stuff, that could have added a lot of flavor. And I think playing Khajiit would have been one of the harder ones to do. You know, if you're playing like a dark elf and you come across the Thalmor, that should be, or a wood elf even, that's even worse. That should be like almost instant combat no matter what's going on.
Right. And generally, what would have been cool is if, depending on the race you're playing, they had made some NPCs just not possible as followers for you, and other NPCs much more enthusiastic or something.
Yeah, and you know what? When I go up to the Khajiit traders, I'm Khajiit, why don't they give me a, hey, we're all far from home, here's your discount sort of thing. Okay, back to Hussein. This is the longest story about Hussein ever. So then you've got to go off and you've got to kill this great white stag to prove that you're a hunter. And when you're doing this, the hunt curse makes you your attacks stronger, which is really cool. And so you kill that, and then the stag comes back as a ghost, and it's Hussein telling you to do the hunt, and you've got to go kill the werewolf. She tells you where the werewolf is. So when you go to kill the werewolf, you can either kill the werewolf or turn around and kill the hunters hunting the werewolf. So basically side with the werewolf. And if you kill the werewolf, Hussein is like, yeah, you did it, here's a ring. You've got to skin the werewolf, and then she enchants the skin. If you decide to side with the werewolf and kill all the hunters, then you go outside and Hussein says, oh, well, you still turned it into a great hunt. You hunted the hunters, which is pretty cool. So here's my ring. But what I did by accident was I started talking to him, realized he wasn't going to do anything. He didn't enter the quest, and I was meant to leave the cave. So I started talking to him, left the cave. Hussein was out there, and I said, I didn't kill the werewolf. He said, great, here's my ring. Turned around and talked to the werewolf. And it gave me the option to kill him. So I killed him and took that. And then Hussein talks to me in a booming voice, you killed the werewolf, and I'll enchant the pelt. So both the ring and the pelt counted as two Daedric artifacts from the one quest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's the first time a glitch has worked in my favor.
They usually don't
in a big way.
Yeah, one other thing I've noticed, not so much on my PC game, but on the Xbox, as I pile up saves, and I think this seemed to happen to me when I was playing Fallout 3 too, and this is, I think, an artifact of the fact that they really should do this the way other games on the Xbox do, is, you know, where they segregate saves by character in most games, and they don't. You know, that you just have one big long list of saves, and I've noticed that as I try to go to the save screen or the load screen, it takes longer and longer and longer as I play.
Well, I don't have the longness on the PC, but certainly now that I've finished with my Nord Mage, I have my Khajiit called Prp, because that's a kitty name, and now it's mixed in with my mage. And you know, if I want to go back and do a level 50 thing at some point, there's no way I'm going to find it.
Well, you know what I'm going to do on my PC game to solve that problem? I have all of my stuff is stored in the documents folder on my Mac because I share the directories. I'm just going to archive the whole damn thing and shove it off to the side, and then start over as if I've never played again.
Yeah, that could work.
And there's also a mod. I haven't tried it because it looked like it was pretty invasive, but there is a mod that will segregate saves.
I'd have to get that. 1.3 patch, the 4 gigabyte address space thing works again. But you've got to do it completely differently to the way before. Before, you would replace the executable. If you do that now, you'll just break things. So that apparently that's no longer required. It's easier to set up the 4 gigabyte thing.
Well, I did notice that with the 1.3 patch, you no longer have the problem of glitching dragons, or at least I haven't seen it yet.
I have had a couple of weird encounters. When they crash into the ground, as in they can't fly anymore, but they're not dead. So they come crashing to the ground. That animation is completely busted. Like, the ground rips up, but you don't see the dragon until the dragon stops. Very strange.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I did, before I got the 1.3 patch, I did see a dragon completely glitch flying into a mountain. And this kind of thing happened to me once in Fallout 3, where I guess the physics engine forgot where something was, and I managed to kill a behemoth with a BB gun, because it was the only weapon I had with ammo left, because the behemoth glitched running into a lamppost. And this was like that. I had a dragon glitch flying into a mountain. So it couldn't breathe on me, it couldn't do anything, it was just flying straight into the mountain. So all I did was ping it.
Another thing about the 1.3 patch is a lot of the mods got broken from it.
So broken in what way? What happened?
Like, they just flat out don't work.
What happens? They don't load in? They break
things? Like, you get, like, the big red exclamation point on a few. The texture ones still work, but some of the other ones don't work right. It just screws up the game.
That's why I was worried about the save game thing, the save game mod that allows you to segregate by character. I was a little worried about that one with patches coming from Bethesda, because it seemed to me that was a core enough part of the game that if Bethesda made a small change and I was using this, it might totally hork me off.
I think they might have done it on purpose because they want to control the mods more by using the Steam network thing.
I don't know. I think that might be a bit of a conspiracy. Conspiracy theory, I should say. I don't believe that. I think that it's easy enough for them to... I mean, they need to focus on making the game work. And if that means that mod developers have to go back and fix their stuff, I think Bethesda is going to pick that path over not having the patches out sooner. And yeah, sure, it sucks for the modder, and it means that as a player who uses mods, you have to wait like a day or two or sometimes a week for the modder to catch up to the latest version. But I think I would still rather Bethesda not be trapped by keeping all the mods correctly supported each time they do a patch.
Well, speaking of that kind of thing, one thing I want to put kind of a call out to the community of people who listen to this podcast, none of us are playing on the PS3. And I've read in the forums and on various websites that the PS3 is just an atrocious experience right now, with frame rate lag and all kinds of interesting problems. I'd really love to hear from someone in the community if they're playing on the PS3, if this is what's happening to them, and, you know, pretty much what their take on it is, because none of us are playing on that platform.
I do have a friend who's playing on it, and he said it sounds just like the Xbox to me, like the glitches. But a lot more lag.
The Xbox doesn't have that frame rate lag problem, though. I mean, it's the only lag problem you see in the Xbox is what you used to see in Oblivion or Fallout when you're traipsing across the land. Periodically, there'll be a little stop point where you know that it's loading the next set of textures in. But, you know, that's no big deal. Everything I've read says that the PS3 has major problems.
So, Austin, you've been following the news on the Skyrim Nexus. And as you mentioned a second ago, Bethesda wants to do something about mods and this whole Steamworks mod thing. I don't think there's another game that has a Steamworks mod type interface at all, is there?
TF2 does.
Okay. There is the mod interface for Civilization V. I'm not quite sure if that's the same as well.
Well, we know you're a big fan of Civ 5, Michael, so you can tell us all about that one.
It's a single-player game, and if you have a few days on your hands, you might be able to finish one game. So anyway, how does the mod experience for TF2 work? Is it good? Is it not good? Because it's basically the template of what we're going to be expecting for Skyrim, right?
I personally have never tried to mod TF2 or any of Valve's games or anything like that, so I have no idea. So, yeah. But I think it's going to be... What it sounds like, though, is it's going to be one click of a button, and it loads the mod straight into your folder with one click of a button. But a problem with most of the mods is that you need other files to make them work right. And since it's one click of a button, people are going to get mad because they're not going to read the details and be like, oh yeah, you have to download this and this to make it work too. They'll just hit download, and then it'll be like, oh, my game's broken, I blame you.
Well, or it might be, I don't know if this is what Steam is trying to do. Maybe what Steam is trying to do here is bring some order out of the chaos of mods. And it's not that mods are necessarily chaotic, it's that since they vary a lot and people do a lot of things with them, maybe what they're trying to do is bring the same kind of controlled experience that, say, Apple has with the App Store for the iPhone, to mods, where you could go to one place and say, I know that if I hit this button, this thing is going to work. I mean, maybe that's what they're trying.
But what I care about more than that, more than the dependencies problem which you described, and more than the chaos problem which you're describing, is the longevity problem. You know, in Fallout New Vegas, after a while, you would get overlapping mods that didn't work together. And having both installed would just break the game. And that's not a dependency thing. That's just, you know, these two mods try to change the same thing at the same time. I wonder how they're going to deal with that. And this was the guy who runs the Skyrim Nexus and all the other Nexuses put up a YouTube video, which Austin, I guess, will get James to put the link up for. And it was a very interesting talk. It was a bit of a long rant, but it's the first time he's really spoken out about this sort of stuff and where Skyrim Nexus sits. And one of the things he said was that they're trying to put together a mod manager, which I guess they're going to be able to apply to all these types of games, the Fallout series, Elder Scrolls series. And there are mod managers, but it sounds like they're kind of amalgamating those into one mod manager. If there isn't a mod manager as part of the Steamworks stuff, at the very least, that mod manager needs to be part of Steamworks, and it'd probably be the very first thing I install. But you would half expect it to be the mod manager to also be an interface to the Skyrim Nexus, which would allow you to immediately install things anyway. So then what would be the point of the Steamworks stuff? Apart from to buy mods instead of... So what, you know, if I have like a free mod that adds horse armor, and then I go and buy one from Bethesda that adds horse armor, what's going to happen? You know, how is it going to manage this stuff? I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned that it's going to be very easy to shoot yourself in the foot with this.
Well, if they manage the dependency problem, that would be a big win all by itself. But that's going to be hard because they're going to have to build a tool that can look at what you've got loaded and then tell you, if you load this, it'll cause a problem. There's the whole dependency chain thing that I don't know if they have tools that can do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're all kind of on the edge of our seat going, I hope this is good, you know, because this has always been really bad in Elder Scrolls and Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Oblivion. It sucked.
It's a crapshoot. You download a mod that you think sounds cool, and you bring it in, and then you find out, oh, didn't want that, or, oops, I can't start my game anymore. And then it's a matter of finding out, well, I know this loading this mod broke it, but is it because there's some other mod that isn't compatible with it? Is it because this mod is broken, which it could be? You know, you never know. It's like programming in a dark room with no keyboard.
So, I've started this new character, the Khajiit, and I'm doing a lot of sneaky, and picking the pockets and whatnot. And it's a bit like that when I played Fallout 3, kind of the second time through, I decided to play an evil character, and they would kill anyone they wanted, steal whatever they wanted, and eventually have the entire town chasing after them. In this game, it's a very different feeling to be doing illegal stuff, you know, stealing from people. You walk into someone's house and you know they're out in the field, and there's all this stuff around you, and it's like, well, I'll take one of these, I'll take one of those.
Now, how does this work with bounties? I mean, if you don't get seen stealing, do the bounties build up? Because I haven't really been playing that way.
If you don't get seen, you get away with it. The problem is that if you steal something, it's marked as stolen in a flag, and you can't sell it to a vendor.
Okay.
You have to do it through a fence or have the speech perk that lets you be a fence.
See, now that makes no sense to me. The thing is that how does somebody know that this apple was a stolen apple?
Yeah, I would think that it would be nice if there was some sort of locality to it. You know, if you stole a ring from someone's house and then tried to sell it to the local jewelry vendor, I think they might recognize it. But if you go to the other side of Skyrim and sell it there, I think you should be able to get away with that.
It's not like they have internet where they can post this kind of stuff.
No, it's got to be a personal relationship. You know, and people who live in Windhelm are going to recognize stuff that people in Windhelm have worn before. So, or weapons that they've used, armor that they own. That sort of stuff is going to be recognizable. So you'd have to leave Windhelm and go to Winterhold to sell it. Speaking of which, isn't it amusing that the Thieves Guild always wants you to steal stuff from outside their own city? I'm beelining for Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild because they're the two quest lines I didn't bother with my mage character. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of excited because
the Dark Brotherhood one's good and the Thieves Guild one's good too. The Thieves Guild one's the longest though. It will take you forever.
But that's fine because I didn't touch it at all in the Mage's Guild, right? And if I'm going to build up a character and center it around stealing and killing, works for me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to start a brand new character to do that because the way I've been playing my characters, it doesn't make any sense for either of them to do those things.
So I do like the fact that you can use the console commands without having Steam go, oh, you can't get achievements now, because it's essential with all the glitches.
Yeah, they have it more integrated this time around, too.
How do you mean?
Like, when you pull up the console, it's actually like a bar that comes up from the bottom of your screen, as in where Fallout, it just pauses the game and it's there. Like, they know people use console commands a lot. And also in the help menu, you can, like, look up codes for stuff, I think.
Yes, I agree. In fact, the one thing that's sort of missing is the ability to target items in your inventory well. You can go player.showInventory, and it gives you a big dump-out list, and you can page up and page down through the whole thing. But when I say big, I mean, oh, I'm trying to get rid of some stupid heavy quest item. I'm going to find it in the middle of the thing to find out the code. It'd be much nicer if I could pop up a menu, click on the thing, and then do...
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So you can actually use the console to get rid of quest items that are weighing you down.
Yes, yes. Oh, here's a nice little gotcha. It doesn't seem to subtract the weight of the item after you drop it.
Really?
Yes.
Increase your carrying capacity.
That's one thing you can do. I can't remember what I did to solve this, but I was carrying two of these red swords, and the quest was long gone, and I had two extra of them, and I couldn't drop them because of quote-unquote quest items. And so I decided, okay, time to use the console. These things are too darn heavy. I think they were taking up 28 weight in total, 14 each. So I dropped them, and I noticed I was still overburdened, and I was like, huh? So I picked them up again, and the weight didn't increase. It stayed the same as it was. So I ended up deleting them instead of dropping them, and that removed the weight.
So you effectively had to blow them out of the game, not just drop them.
Yes. So you got to make sure you don't want it. Oh, Dragon Priests. God, the glitches just keep on coming. The Mask of Otar was the very first mask I got. And when I finally went to the Wooden Mask Shrine, I put two masks in there. And I wore a third. Plus, I kept the wood one. When I went back there with my mage to add a fourth, the Otar mask was gone. Ah.
Well, that's not necessarily a glitch. That's not an owned chest, so it's
not a chest. It's an altar. It's like the snow globes thing.
Okay.
I just carried all mine around, and then I went and put them all on when I finally got them all.
Well, if I get that far in my thief playthrough, we'll see. Because already, you know, I'm fighting spiders and they're kicking my butt. I am playing on a harder difficulty though, so I've got to keep that in mind. But if I do get around to it, the Dragon Priests, I will hunt them all down, and I will keep the masks until I've got them all next time.
I like the mask you get at the end. It's really good. It does, like, something random if your health gets too low.
Yeah, I read that it knocks everyone back and steals health from them and things like that.
It's pretty a bit like cool the Wabbajack too.
I was fighting a giant, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to use the Wabbajack. So I shot the Wabbajack at him, and he turned into a sweet roll.
But was it a giant sweet roll?
No, just a regular sweet roll. I love that weapon. That is the funnest weapon in the game.
That's shades of restaurant at the end of the universe there.
I like how these games aren't afraid to give you something ridiculously overpowered like that. You know, you could go up to Alduin and shoot him, probably.
Now, that would be amusing, to end that quest by turning him into a sweet roll.
That's one for the ages.
You'd have to wonder if they had programmed the heroes to deal with that situation.
Your game would probably just crash.
I'm kind of tempted to try and win it that way now. He might be resistant to it. You never know, because he is pretty powerful. But we're talking about Daedric Princes here, so can he really resist a Daedric Prince? I don't know. We'll see.
He is like a Daedric Prince, almost.
No, he's less than that.
Yeah, he's like one level down in the hierarchy from them.
Yeah. He doesn't get his own dimension and plane of existence. he stole one, after all, plot-wise, plot-spoiling. So, have you finished it yet, James? You finished the main quest?
Oh, yeah. In my mage playthrough, I finished the main quest. I killed Alduin, and I put the storm cloaks on top. So, yeah, I finished that whole thing.
Okay, so since all three of us have finished the quests, and, of course, obligatory spoiler warnings, the finale, bit of an anticlimax after everything else that you've done in the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good lead-up when you go into the underworld, like, Sovngarde. Mm-hmm. But then when you fight him, it's just, like, okay,
that's,
whatever.
Let's clear the weather out of the way. Okay, Fogg's gone, shoot him, dead.
Yeah, it really was an anticlimax. I felt like the mage quest line seemed much more fulfilling to me, and the companion's quest line seemed more fulfilling to me.
Yeah, and I think I said this was before, you know, the way to make that final battle epic, I went and killed Parthenax because some other quests got stuck that I needed the blades to talk to me, and they wouldn't talk to me because I hadn't killed Parthenax. So you go to kill Parthenax after you complete the main quest, he's just sitting up there, and there are dragons everywhere. And it has this epic feel of, okay, I'm about to fight a dragon and his army of dragons is around me. That's really what the finale with Alduin should have been about, I think. Because where are all his dragon generals? Where, you know, they should have been rallied around him. He should have demanded that they were there in the final battle. So it should have been like four heroes fighting 30 dragons, and it would have been amazing. So we need a mod for that.
I don't think the engine could have handled it, though. All that.
There's a video of someone with 100 dragons flying around.
Yeah, but I bet he had a frame rate.
Yeah, but not fighting them.
I bet he had a frame rate of about 1 frame per second.
Or at least have a gigantic legion of skeletons or something. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you could have hundreds of mobs attacking you and have the game run reasonably, especially on console. And maybe this is where the line is drawn, right? You know, if you're going to make a game that's going to run on console and PC, the PC misses out on having you face off 500 enemy at once. Now that's where Dragon Shouts would have been entertaining, you know?
Yes. Yeah, especially Unrelenting Force.
Yes, exactly. That would be really cool. I actually still feel like the Dragon Shouts take too long to cool down. I really want a way to speed them up, and the Talos necklace, 20% faster, is just not enough.
It's not enough. You should be able to do that more often than you are.
Because, you know, there's this whole, okay, I'll use the whirlwind speed. Well, no, I won't. That's just a waste of my shout time.
The only time I found that to be useful was in running away from a giant.
Dragon Rend keeps them on the ground almost as long as it takes to recharge the shout. So there's no point, if you're going to use Dragon Rend, there's no other shout you would ever use against dragons because you have to wait to recharge it anyway. Yeah, I feel like there's something not quite right about that balance.
Yeah, there's...
Well, something about the ending, about like how there's no other dragons but Alduin, is that his right-hand dragon is your friend at that point. So he helped kind of turn the other ones away.
I know, but I think there would have been plenty of other dragons who were too scared to leave him that would have been there to fight by his side. And it's almost like if you had gone to this other plane where Alduin is eating souls, defeated him there, then you should have had to have fought him back in the real world, which is where his army was. So, you know, if you get through this maze of stuff, you get light resistance. But once Alduin's back, that's when the heavy resistance should be there. All you've done is cut off his soul supply, and that's when the final battle really should have happened. You know, and in many respects, fighting him the first time is harder than fighting him in the last time.
Yeah, I lost my dog in that fight.
Well, to kind of draw a comparison, if you remember Dragon Age Origins, the final battle against the Archdemon at the end of that was a hard battle. And especially since they kept throwing mobs at you during the battle. And this one, maybe they should have thrown mobs at you during it to distract you. They should have done something more because that battle just wasn't hard enough.
It was flat. Actually, just to sidetrack the Dragon Age Origins, the only true Dragon Age game, that final battle had a really interesting story part to it. They made it epic by making all of your attacks 100 times stronger and then throwing 100 times as many people at you. I felt that was awesome because it was like, you know, you'd slogged through the whole story and then you get to this final battle and the game mechanics, the combat becomes storybook legend, tell the tale sort of scenario. And that was a really nice thing that they did. And that would have worked well in this game too. If at the point where you're fighting Alduin, the thing that will be spoken of for ages in bars around Tamriel was something that truly was epic and worthy of song.
Yeah, they just didn't make it epic enough. They should have done... Something else needed to be there.
Something must have changed in 1.3, because the bards, the songs and the bards, the songs that are being sung by the bards at the various taverns around at Tamriel, there's more of them. I think maybe there was a bug where they weren't using the full collection of things they could be doing. I've heard them playing drums, playing flute, singing variants of the bard songs, and the first time I played through, I never heard any of that.
Well, I've heard all of those things. I don't know why you didn't. I've had those happen all along.
Maybe I just don't go to the bars and drink enough.
Well, I think on that note...
Yeah, we've probably got enough content for this episode, so let's do the outro, and I've just inserted random gibberish that now you have to remove, so I've made your editing job more exciting. Oh, right, and I've missed my cue.
Of course you missed your cue.
Of course I missed my cue. Have you missed an episode? Need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? That want to join the Facebook group or the Steam group? And or even follow the Twitter? We have a Twitter. I don't know why we have a Twitter. Austin? Find these links and more at www.jaroba.com. That's JAROBER/Thumcast. THUUMCAST. And if you go to jaroba.com without the slash Thumcast, of course you won't find anything useful at all.
Hey, there's a link somewhere.